and Bozam left them standing. Look at that acceleration once again. And it's the two-state derby double to Mahogany. Why couldn't it? And here comes the big O, octagonal with the last run at them. City that we love. Clouds all over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes. Take over targets, will he condition, hold out, Apache Cat's just about got him, Apache Cat surges to the front with 50 to go, and the favourite kicks away and wins it. And the Black Caviar, the best in the world, races away and wins it by about 3 lengths to the roar of the crowd. And look at her going, Black Caviar. She raced away. She's going to set a new Group 1 record in Australia. She's truly in a league of her own. Kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds. Chautauqua is eating up the ground. Lord of the Sky, a half in front. Chautauqua starting to level up. Here we go. Boom. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed? She breaks all the records today. She's a champion, Wings. She wins it by two. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history.
G'day, thanks so much for getting our Derby Day preview. Great to hear some of the greats of yesteryear. As the tradition continued, are we going to get a fair dump of rain? Anyway, we'll try and give you the insights now and also, of course, update it Saturday morning, post-scratchings and post-whatever hits Rarewick on Friday. Good morning, Vince Accardi.
Good morning, Ralphie, or afternoon, whatever you want to call it. It's a great day.
Yeah, well, we're not sure when our customers are getting it, but we're recording this at 2 o'clock Thursday, so that's the information we've got now. But like I said, we will give you the full updated information Saturday morning. But at the moment, Vince, I know you use the YR platform, and that's saying a fair bit of rain's going to hit Sydney.
Yeah, well, this is it. They've all been waiting for it. The rain dances have been happening. The drums have been beating. All the warlords have been saying, please give me the rain. They got it.
They got it, absolutely.
Well, they're getting it, like they do most other years.
So what's going to be your mindset as of now? Are you thinking heavy 10?
Well, I've definitely done all the work on slow to heavy in terms of profiling. Yep. It's pretty straightforward. This isn't probably the biggest challenge. The real challenge is, does the rain come during race day? That's probably more the concern that Randwick has proven over the years for quite a long time. It can handle a lot of rain, and they'll definitely start. The question is, how much rain will come during the day? That's probably – this is race day, right? This is probably more the issue, and it's probably too early to work that out. So at the moment, we just got to work with, okay, plenty of rain, slow to heavy track, let's go.
Let's go, absolutely. Mouth guard in. What we'll do, we'll start with the two open races. In other words, not the size for the two-year-olds or the derby for the three-year-olds, because this has obviously got the most amount of deep form that we can dive into and a fair bit of fascination about it. That starts with the TJ Smith. Vince, this is a cracker. I Wish I Win won the race last year. Since then, Imperatrice has emerged. You put the stamp on her, probably the best sprinter in Australia from the spring this time in. Well, she's been great. She's won twice, got beaten in the new market. But the question is, has she got another run in her? And what can she do on wet ground? I Wish I Win. We know what he can do on wet ground because that's exactly what it was this time last year. Firstly, how are you seeing the speed in this race before we dive into the main chances?
Yes, well, the speed, it's probably, oh, okay, slow to heavy track. The pace, realistically, the way I'm looking at it, it's just going to be even speed based on the track condition being slow to heavy. In terms of how much additional exertion would that mean? Probably 3-4 lengths of additional exertion. So if this was to then sort of be moderated back to a good track, it's going to be somewhere around three, four lengths above benchmark. But realistically, depending on how much rain has fallen by the time that race has come, if any, then the reality is they'll have a tendency to be a bit slower, Ralphie. So I've marked them right now as even speed and nothing that's going to be too much more than that. But that'll be testing even speed.
All right, so most advantage at this stage for your early edition, you've got, and we'll just go in the order that you've got them. So let's start with I Wish I Win. What did he do in this race last year? What are you expecting of him to do on Saturday?
This race last year, wow.
Big dynamic win. That's where he really stamped himself, even though we'd already stamped him as a Group 1 horse with some of the sections of races that he'd done or in lesser class, but that's where he really put it together.
Well, just that run alone, Ralphie, and basing it on that was on a wet track, that run there, this horse will not finish worse than second, just on that run.
Yep.
See, there's a lot of ways we can look at this. I don't really feel there's hardly any chance. If this horse prides well, this horse will win, particularly on a heavy track.
Well, how do you fault it? I mean, 5.2 lengths above benchmark in this race last year. From the time he walked into the stable, Peter Moody said, we're only aiming at one race. Last year, he only aimed at the Everest, but he gave it a run in the Memsey. This tells me that he said, nah, I just want this horse to be wound up like a spinning top first up. I don't want a race to run. We saw in the Lightning in 2023, unbelievable finish, and then had to really chase all the way in the Lightning. It was a really unusual structure. Last year, as I said, went forward in the Memsey, which was a soft tempo race, just got beaten, but on a firm track in the Everest. Everything tells you he just is so happy with this horse.
Yeah, and the two jump out trials are just like really nice fine tuning scenarios for this. Of course, there is this preface around sometimes when a track's very, very heavy, bottomless, could be a heavy 20. I don't know, Ralphie, but let's just say bottomless. Sometimes it tends to really sap it out of the horse over the last couple of 100 meters. So if there's any question marks that you might have, that could be the only possible reservation that you could have. And this does allow potentially for horses that have had racing, hard racing, to give themselves that edge. Now, mind you, again, I'm talking about like if it's heavy and then it keeps running through the afternoon, then it becomes extremely risky proposition. But putting that to the side, there's no way under any other case scenario does this horse get beat.
Well, which is a nice starting point.
Well, it is. What's the price? I mean, it's anything better than even money is already good.
Well, at the moment, he's high threes.
Yeah, it's fantastic, really.
I think a little bit of $4 on Betfair. So I just think, yeah, absolutely ticks the boxes. And the bonus, and no knock on Luke Nolan, who was obviously such a great, had a great association with this horse anyway, but of course immortalised through Black Caviar. But to have the currently Australia's greatest jockey, or certainly Sydney-based jockey in James McDonald on, that's just the final cherry on top.
Well, this is it. And the challenges of this, Ralphie, we don't know what Imperatrice can do on a wet track. That exposure's not there, and it's never a positive sign when you don't know. What you do know is you've got race fitness. It's hardened. Is it racing a length or two below what it absolute best? I feel it is. I feel this mare isn't quite racing right at its absolute top, although not everything has gone to plan in terms of race tactic scenarios. So I'm going to, have a little bit of a caution there, and I am looking at these horses turning up and producing their best. And on all the technicals, you've got to have like Imperatrice on top, but then you start to de-escalate the problems. Number one, will it handle the wet or not? As a professional, you're not a wise man if you're just going to go in and back it on those pretenses. No way. This horse is not proven at all. Number two, you can say maybe it's going to come to its absolute best on the weekend. That's possible. And all the data's indicating you're trending one, two lengths behind. That's not a positive sign either. And then when I look at horses, let's say Private Eye. Private Eye's never been a really good horse on wet ground. It's been horrible, right? So it's probably sad for that horse because this horse was absolutely ready to test both those horses, right? But it isn't going to happen. So then I go down the tree and I go, okay, Marzu loves the wet track. But is it up to that class? Oh, I wish I win. Really? Is it up to that class? It's coming with the same type of scenario in terms of it doesn't have really any real advantage race fitness wise, and it's got 2-3 lengths inferior class. And I'm just sitting here saying, well, it all becomes a bigger story. What are you going to give a horse like Af Cabin? It's not good enough, Ralphie. No, I'm just talking fundamental facts here. Not good enough. Bonus Notches. What do I do with a horse like that? This is another horse got plenty of talent and on the right day could test that group of top three horses, Private Eye, I Wish I Win, Imperatrice. But is this the ideal scenario for this horse, this ground condition? Well, I beg to differ. I can't see where the proof is, right? And then there's Cylinder. Well, Cylinder probably ran flat last start. Maybe it was peak for the last run. I don't know. But again, from a professional betting point of view, could you really back that horse on a real heavy game? Now, if you're lucky enough and you back it and it wins, well done. You got the right lucky dip. What can I say? But on a business point of view, if you're serious about how you're going to make some money out of this, if that's the modus, if you're just entertainment, any of those horses I mentioned, even Mars, you could throw something on it and have some fun. But from a business point of view, I'm not interested in any other horse other than I Wish I Win, full stop. And the only thing that's going to stop me from backing that horse on Saturday is if it rains during race day. Then I'm probably going to stay out because we know what happens to Randwick and Rosehill. If it's heavy, it's fine. But if it keeps pouring during the afternoon, it turns into just a swamp. And, you know, I'm happy to watch them. Who knows? Maybe they'll cancel and we'll have to come back and restructure everything again, Ralphie. But right now, as we sit, I'm only interested in one horse and no other.
All right. So you've made your point clear, and that's really important. So there's no ifs or buts. For those taking multis, just put a couple of facts on the table here. The Mazu that you've mentioned, it's $18. It's won on a 30-length below benchmark day before, so it can handle bottomless ground. It ran third in this race last year, too. I Wish I Win, and it'll probably put itself in the right spot from out wide and use its tactical speed. So that's the case for a horse like that.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. It's got a rock-solid WTI 8.4. That's a mud-running profile for me. This gives a significant edge when compared to many other horses where it might just be behind them. And it's not a big gap, you know, a couple of lengths on the best sprinters. That's nothing. But for a wet track where a lot of others are going to lose maybe 2-6 lengths, this is fantastic. Tim Clark, he's the perfect rider for that horse. And, you know, the wetter it is, it isn't going to make any. And it's had at least one run, right, in the last 28 days, like a proper race. So that's at least something. But goodness me, if you've got 2 equal horses in capabilities on wet track, I know where I'm steering.
And I'll ask you about the two mares. One's in the market, one isn't. One's just outside the market. They've both had single-figure runs, and they're the only two that have. Sunshine in Paris, I don't think we've got a ceiling on her. What's your feeling on a wet track, or have you got any feeling at all on a wet track?
Well, Sunshine in Paris, I felt her run first up. There was an expectation this horse was going to go very well, and it did. It ran fantastic. Is it capable of stepping up? I feel it is capable of stepping up, but not under these circumstances. The circumstances of the way the ground condition is. Now, mind you, there could be this chance that this horse might love the wet ground, right? We don't know. So it is an unknown to the degree of what it can handle. It might just love it and just all of a sudden produce a Winx-like performance because it is quite capable, Ralphie. But I'm, you know, sometimes I don't mind taking a calculated risk, but not with this horse on Saturday against what I know is already there.
And the mare that's further out in the market, Magic Time, actually won on this day last year. So the day I Wish I Win won. It was only a third start, but to give you a comparison of raw times, 22.9 lengths below benchmark versus 15.4. So that's the type of class leap it has to take. But gee, it was really good in the spring. And in the new market, it ran like a horse who needed the run. Since had a barrier trial, is there any case that can be made for Magic Time from a multi perspective?
See if they can get Moody to scratch I Wish I Win and a couple of others.
There you go. All right, nice and simple. Let's get into the Doncaster there. You've made your point on TJ Smith. Let's have a look at this Doncaster. It is a deep, deep race, and not just on talent, but obviously with the added puzzle now of the wet ground here. We expect the Doncaster to be fast. Are you expecting this year's Doncaster to be fast?
Oh, for sure, Ralphie. And I have to say, the card, it is unbelievable. It is now, look, I know I might have turned that last race into a little bit of a mockery, right? Because I'm just getting straight to the pointy end and not getting, like, not confusing myself, right? But the card, even in that race that we just went past, it's got so much talent and it continues. And this is no exception. What an unbelievable race. And I just sit back and say to myself, I feel like it's been a while when you genuinely got a half a dozen horses that are in top form in a race.
Coming together.
I mean, I'm talking like elite top four, right? That field alone's probably got a dozen horses that are in great form. The pace will be solid, Ralphie. I've marked it as fast. Now, of course, on the benchmark, could they get somewhere near, you know, benchmark minus six on a real heavy ground? It could happen, Ralphie, right? Which would translate to something like plus 6 to 10. So I do feel for any of the horses that are going to tackle the lead. I really, really do feel for them.
Tractable in the boogers. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen there?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, right? It's going to be tough up front. Sometimes, if anyone's, you know, sleeping or, you know, has a delayed reaction to the move or can't get out when the move comes, because that happens, then that could help some of the on-pace horses. But there's just that many top-line horses that are sitting in that second and third line in terms of race shape that it's just impossible for not two or three of them to jump out of ground and just go straight past that, you know, front-running pack and make it a contest. It's going to be a great contest for sure.
So you put your IVR forecast as 3.2, and for those looking at your early edition race speed profiles, basically you're saying that's your cutoff before you want to talk about it. Have you lowered that because of the wet ground conditions? Because it just looks like such a high quality, or is that pretty much how the computer spat it out?
Well, it's like this. Celestial Legend can handle given the ground, so just to what degree of heavy, right?
Yep.
Lady Laguna's got some capability on wet ground. Again, to what degree of heavy? Militarizer's similar, right? Bamburamai can't really put a marking on that. And think about it, well, it's also slightly questionable what may or may not happen with that horse on, you know, at this stage it's got like a borderline pass mark on, you know, that's, you know, worse side than slow. And then another will, well, when we do have a wet track indicator, it says, oh, I'm just sensational wet or dry, so that's extremely dangerous. What that means, though, is this, Ralphie. It means everybody that I feel is 2.5 lengths above benchmark or less are going to have major problems. Because, see, the majority of those horses above it do have an ability to handle the wet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So one of them being, we'll just go in market order here because a lot of them are in your most advantage. And starting with another will, we said on the Monday podcast, we ain't got a ceiling on this horse yet. We're going to find it's a bit of a ceiling wall anyway, a wet track ceiling on Saturday. The one thing about, and you touched on it, about its wet track win, amazing WTI it pulled off. Now, it was at Moe, it was in a maiden. If ever you've seen track work, that was track work. I went and had a look back at it before, just before we started. Oh my goodness! So that's no guide. What type of expectation have you got? What's he done on the clock so far?
Well, the reality is, if we look at this horse and say, "Okay, where are we headed?" 2.5 above IVR benchmark, with the possibility of getting into that 3 to 5 range without any problems at all. Like 3 would be ridiculously as a low, you know, like another half length improvement on what we've seen. The data's indicating that possibly more like 2 lengths will come. And this will all be determined by the energy efficiency that the rider gives the horse will determine whether this horse can get to a plus 6 or a plus 5. Reality is it has to improve somewhere around a half to three quarters of a length to be competitive. And I feel that there's no question that that horse has got that. And this horse also has absolutely no problems in handling the ground from what we understand to be, even if it was just a genuine heavy 10.
So it's drawn wide. Now, obviously, it went forward to put the race away last week to qualify for this race. But I see on your early edition of Race Speed Profiles, which is just pretty much how the computer spits her out, there's no need for Jamie Carr to go forward early is pretty much what the computer's saying. Am I reading that right?
Yep, that's correct. There's no
so need. She could probably just slot across on him.
They're going to spread straight away, Ralphie.
Yep.
This field will spread. It's not going to be all tight together. Well, unless it's that bad from the barriers for the first 600 metres where it's like super shifting ground, then they wouldn't race, right? That's my summation. So if it was that bad, they wouldn't race. Therefore, it has to be raceable. And if it's going to be raceable, they're going to spread. When this race has gone 300-400 metres, there's going to be a big spread. The opportunity will be there to slot in. Jamie Carr, she's pretty brilliant with when she has to just do that. She's pretty brilliant. I don't believe that's going to be a challenge for her.
So let's bracket two horses here in Celestial Legend and Militarize, given there was a bobblehead at Randwick in the Guineas. Since then, Militarize ran in the George Ryder, which seemed to be a set play from Chris Waller to bring him to his top in this handicap. Zach Purden comes over from Hong Kong to ride him. Meanwhile, Celestial Legend loses Kieran McAvoy, unfortunately, due to his injury. That trial looked unbelievable to the eye. So what type of meat in the bones can you put on those two runners?
Well, I guess the first question is, when we look at the last start performances, under what circumstances do we see Militarize beating Celestial Legend? I'm a little bit surprised because I felt that Militarize and everything that it's been doing does shape up potentially as a superior longer distance than this. Where it is, that doesn't mean you can't race dynamically at a mile, but now we're run number four. I look at what happened in that last race. You look at the efficiency of energy. It was pretty solid, Ralphie. First, bracket of speed, plus 1.2. Second bracket of speed between the 8 and the 400, plus 1.7. Last bracket, that's the last 400 metres, plus 3.3. Not a lot you can knock, but what we can see is this, and this is what I want to point to. A two-length slowdown of natural speed in the horse from one run to the other. The start before it was plus 3.1, this time it's 1.2. This is the first sign about losing that speed. The second key factor is look at the mid. Where the horse two starts back at a mile matched it, that plus 3, here it was plus 1.7 last start at Rose Hill, another 1.3 lengths slower. Okay, overall, it did have a stronger last 400, but of course it is fitter, right? And 100% like bang in those lanes. I mean, I'm looking at last 200 lane 11 finish line was already in lane 13. So you know that this horse was very, very much at the top of its game at the end of the race. But now we're going to come back and stay at 1600 still, right? Or we're going up 100 overall. But for the last three runs, I'm just saying you're same distance. How much more speed will you lose? If I look at history on this horse, the data's indicating 3 to 5 lengths loss of speed. Now, if you lose 3 to 5 lengths in this race, you're going to be 15 off them. Good luck. That's all I'm going to say. Good luck.
The heavy track component, just put that before we get back to Celestial Legend, the heavy track component, this time last year you won the size and the champagne, and I'm looking here at the raw times, 26.9 and 29.1 lengths below benchmark. So both of those were on bottomless tracks. Now, of course, all you have to do is beat the opposition and then work the type of class against him that had that day. But at least there's no negative about him, I suppose you could say, on heavy tracks.
There's no negative on the horse at all on the track. 100% yep. Rubber stamp, will handle the ground. I do not see that being the problem. My only problem that I see is they're going to run with speed. You cannot afford to be at the 800-meter mark, giving that midfield pack, more forward pack, a 6 to 10-length head start because you're going to be 15 off them. So what's Zach going to do? Is Zach going to – well, I don't believe he's going to have any option. See, this is the challenge. I don't believe he's going to have the option. And so, well, I'm just going to place you more forward because the horse isn't going to have it.
That's whereas Celestial Legend is 4 weeks between runs, had that Barrichello, like I said, looked phenomenal late, and Tyler Schiller gets his chance with Kieran McAvoy out injured. How are you assessing him?
Well, this is it, right? You look at this horse, it went up in distance. It was a dramatic improvement in speed. And that run was the real coming of age for that horse, in my view. Even though the overall score was only 3.3 above, but I just look at it, plus 2.5, it was a 6.5 length increase from one run to the other with extra distance. The one that really captivated me was the mid-race. It was 3.5 above. It was a negative squeeze. In other words, the horse had a slowing of a length and not an increase. So not the world's best use of efficiency, but it was pedal to the metal, maximum extension. And you compare it to the run before, it's 7.2 lengths more, Ralphie. So from one run to the other, the horse was asked for more than 13 lengths of additional pressure. And doing that with 200 more meters and still broke benchmark last 400 and last 200 sort of says a lot about where you're coming. And then I looked at, you know, I look at the lane bias. Well, you didn't have any more or less advantage than anybody else. You were sort of 400, your lane 8, 200, your lane 9, finish line, you're 11, lane 11. So you're all in good places. You're not in a bad spot. And I just sit there and say, okay, well, yeah, this horse should improve from that run. And that's what the intel is saying. It should improve. The question is how much? Well, I thought about this. Not less than half a length is my sort of go-to position, and probably maximum two at this point in time for a horse who's only had a handful of starts. So what are the challenges other than that? How well can it perform on a really heavy track? Well, no one's going to really know, but this horse does handle the wet track. That where it was at Canterbury that day when it was a 15.3 raw, the horse produced a WTI, a 5.5. That was its first race start, Ralphie. Had the world's worst race shape you could ever imagine. You know, they're traveling, the horse is going 15 lengths below benchmark. Huge squeeze in the mid race, giving you confidence the horse can handle some sort of give in the ground. So now you just got to ask yourself the question, all right, well, can it do it on real heavy track? So it has to be the serious testing to the favorite. Has to be.
What's your level of confidence in Tyler Schiller? I'm looking through at his data and he's been riding winners at Kenzo, but on the sad days, he hasn't had a lot, but obviously not from a lot in the market with all the big boys around.
Well, the pressure's there. And obviously, if he can contain, if Tyler can contain the nerves until they jump, then it'll be fine. And if he can't and he gets scared, and he doesn't understand how to use fear as his advantage, then. Well, you know, the result will also be shown.
Well, up to him, young man. Good luck to him. Okay, let's touch on a couple of these others. Lady Laguna, she's faultless. We've had a lot of fun with her over the summer, Vince. Can she run a mile? Has she got another run in her?
It's a heartbreaker for me because I've definitely left some money behind, not, you know, trending this horse all the way in. And I took a position that perhaps she'd come to the top, and the reality is she's sort of had two runs since when I thought she was coming to the top and gone even better, which means the horse is airborne. Yeah. That's what it means. The horse is absolutely airborne. There's no way you can sit there and say can't get 1,600 metres. You look at the way that horse finished last start. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Of course, the challenge lies, could this be the one where the horse says, I'm done. I don't know. All I can say is on performances, it's impossible to knock. You are there in the race and has to have a level of respect. And then it's just a challenge of whether you feel, could you roll the dice one more time? Yes or no?
All right. So, and a couple others. So, firstly, Obama Boomerai. Well, he made us very, very happy. Golden Eagle Day, Vince, when the Japanese runner in his only start to date here won. It's just a complete wet track raffle. But here's the thing about his win, and I'll get you to explain it further. He actually ran below what your expectation was due to a remarkably soft tempo race that probably wasn't looking the case on paper.
Yeah, see, if this was a closer to a firmer track or, you know, even a good 4S5, with the type of pace that we're predicting, Ralph, this horse would love that, right?
Yeah.
But now we're going to be in a fast race course, which the horse doesn't dislike, but you know, if it handles the wet, that's an impossibility. I personally have no understanding whether it can or can't. I don't have any way of knowing either. Geez, I don't know if anyone has asked, any journo has asked the trainer, you know, has ever seen this horse do any work on wet ground? I mean, how would you know?
I don't think they'd believe it over there, Vince. They just spray concrete on the tracks.
Yeah, it's like this, yeah, because they just leave it to that being natural. You know, that's why they're smart. They're very smart, Japan. They're very, very smart. They understand racing. The weather will be the weather and the track's the track. If it's fast, it's fast. If you don't want to run your horse, don't run it.
So for those who want to be on class and risk the fact that it's an unknown, I just want to back the truck over here. You're saying on class with the wet and an unknown, he's as good as any horse in the race.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, you don't come home with a plus 9.3 on your first attempt in Australia and the last 200. Mind you, that horse that day was in lane six. It was like borderline lane, yes, no. But all the way leading into that, the reality is, there's no doubt this horse could have easily have done another two or three lengths better than that on that day. So you know what sort of talent you're dealing with. It's a high-class horse. And if you're willing to chance your arm, say, well, I'm happy to risk it and back it because maybe you can handle the wet and maybe you can't and the price is great.
Okay. And think about last start, they went forward in the rider from the wide barrier and you think, well, that was a mistake. It overdid it. And then you think, hang on, what's Joe Pride? Joe Pride is the grand final trainer. He said he wanted to target the Doncaster. Was that his chance to say, you know what, blow out, get yourself fully fit and come to play Doncaster Day? But you can have all the plans in the world, or to paraphrase Mike Tyson, well, got strategy to deal with punch in the face. Is the wet track the punch in the face for this horse?
Well, I feel it's a couple of things. Number one, whilst Joseph Pride had a plan, he can't dictate the races.
Yep.
And if you have a look at a first up, slow pace, huge mid-race extension, which is great, you know, to bring on conditioning and then gets a reversal last start up to 1,500 in a high-pressure race and travelling 7.9 lengths above benchmark, which is very fast for that horse. And then you've seen the deterioration. That's not the right recipe coming into this race third up. And that's no fault of Joseph Pride. It's just purely got to do with, that's what you were dealt with. The horse did remarkable to do what it did. Now, some people might say it's weights, this and that. Okay, it could be, you know, how do I know that? It might be. But what I can say with a lot of confidence is when you break your own personal PB by 7 lengths in early speed with 200 more distance, that will have a lot to do with it, particularly when you weren't hardened enough or ready for that. So now it has all that hardness. It's a quick backup in this situation, 14 days, and you've got that last caveat, the real heavy track. So all those points sort of, I don't like to say this, but it's probably in line with the market. It's a hard horse to want to back, even though it's a horse you'd like to back because it's an attractive price if you were just, you know, working on price. Because it's a high-talented horse.
There's three more. We'll get on Sizzlers, and there's another left fielder I just want to ask you about here. So we'll just do these in 30 seconds. Detonator Jack loves wet ground. He seems airborne. I mean, his Melbourne Cup Day win was 16 lengths below benchmark, and he won at Kembla on that slow track when the blinkers went on. What's his level of capability, you think?
No, not tomorrow. I reckon Mars got it wrong for this race. Not tomorrow. It's the wrong race. There are horses better than this horse at this distance. And if you look at the setup, it's not ideal. Even with a super trainer like Ma, it's not. See, if it was a good track, might be a little bit different, but it's very heavy. This setup's not right for it.
Is it the same thing with Democracy Manifest, airborne, but not the right race?
Unfortunately, again, you know, coming up against the wall of classes, this has also got plenty of talent. It does have one edge. It's had that one extra run. So that part's beautiful. And then everything else is negative.
Southport Tycoon.
No, no, Ralphie.
And I've just got a text, Vince, literally as we speak, just coincidental. I think Zoo got just coming out of the race, which puts Nugget into the race. Now, Nugget ran third in this race last year to Mr. Brightside, beaten a length. So we know, and that was on significantly wet track. Has he got any chance at the Boulder's Odds Nugget?
Well, it's a wet track specialist, no question about that. Loves the mile. Has the right profile in terms of being ready. Class-wise, well, realistically, if the others don't improve, then it's up to them, isn't it? It's up to them.
One there for Maldives. But sort of in summary, Vince, it looks like you're gravitating down the bottom there. Another Will Celestial legend at this stage.
Well, again, I don't like to say, but just keep it simple. Keep it very, very simple, and there's a high probability there's money coming to you.
Lovely. All right, we'll update that, of course, Saturday morning when we've got a bit more clarity. This is actually, even though there's two more Group 1 races, I suppose we can't go as deep, so we won't. Size Produce, Vince, unusual. I heard Bruce McAvaney saying, I think this is the first time ever the first five in the Golden Slipper are all running in the Size Produce. And who's to argue with Bruce McAvaney? Of course, Lady of Camelot won from Coleman, who ran out of his skin. Stormboy was slowly away, the favourite, before running third. And then Traffic Warden, who has a 1400 run, albeit in very slow time when winning the Size Produce in Melbourne, ran fourth in this race. How are you lining these up?
Well, this is a testament to how fantastic the card is. I reckon they're definitely using the right words. It's a day one championships day. And it really is, right? From a form student point of view, you can't help but get excited, right?
Yeah.
But then, I want to ask you this question, Ralphie. What do we do with Stormboy, fantastic horse, got plenty of capability. Lady of Camelot was absolutely sensational last start. Coleman, another fantastic performance last night. But how will they go on the wet track, Ralphie?
Well, it's the total unknown. I thought Manal, I mean, we put her in sizzlers not knowing what was going to happen when it comes to the size. I think she's got the perfect profile for 1400. I don't know if she's good enough.
Well, this is the thing now. It's going to come down to which horse handles the ground best.
Yep.
Really will determine this race. And that could be one at odds. Because if you look at the spread of the first seven or eight horses, the spread's not that big. Therefore, you only need one horse that gets the first chance on that wet ground and they love it.
Yep.
And they could just put paid to the competition, which so far look fantastic. And I'm talking about Stormboy or Lady Camelot, even Coleman to a lesser extent. But if they don't handle the ground, wow, this is super wide open race, Ralphie. And I'm not that brave, my friend.
All right, let's see if we're brave in the Derby. The favourite for the race is Riff Rocket. Second favourite, Zardozi. We weren't expecting her to be running, but this is a horse you put a big stamp on come to Oaks with last year. You said this is a real serious Caulfield Cup type potential horse. Significantly, on Oaks Day, it was a very wet track. On the quick backup, she's fit. Interesting. And last week, it was off a soft tempo, but booming mid-race and chased hard orchestral. Tom Kitten, though, for those who aren't Group 1 members, you made a point of saying you since heard James Cummings, you're convinced he was flat now in the Randwick Guineas, in the Rose Hill Guineas, when he was also on the inside lanes there. Adam Hieronymus takes the ride, and Wymark is the race fit horse as well, just airborne and making his own luck up front.
Yeah, and again, I cannot stress out more how fantastic even this race is. Really, this is like a great contest. I do feel a lot better about Tom Kitten because I probably needed to get the milk out for myself in the end, right? Because I started talking through my pocket, which is not very professional to be that way. But when you get beat around a little bit, you do start having crazy thoughts. But the reality is that came into play when I listened to what James had to say, and then you go back and it just franked what after I'd cooled down, that horse could have been flattened by the previous run. And now I frank that. And then if I had more time to reflect during the course of the week as well, Ralphie, about the fact that when you look at the traditional methods that have used by so many successful trainers, if you can have that one baseline run at 2,000, then have another one at 2,000 or 2,400, that's like when you're ready to go. So you could see now it was all making sense about it all coming together. I guess I had an expectation maybe that horse could have already won a race or two. But here it is. And we have a different set of problems now. I do feel that, again, I find myself in this precarious situation of saying that that is the horse to beat, but maybe the heavy track might not work for the horse. I don't know. Riff Rocket, who's really done nothing wrong, also has that same fundamental challenge about how will you handle a very heavy track. And Zardosi can handle given the ground, but to what extent? And can it make just that next step to compete against Tom Kitten and Riff Rocket? And maybe all it needs is this given the ground to be enough. I mean, that performance last night was fantastic.
Is there any degree of concern of flatness given the booming mid-race and sustained close? 7-day backup. Or can it be an asset, given how slow they're going early?
Yes. Well, I felt that the horse had a very good baseline fitness going into that race, so therefore was going to be ready to be able to handle a number of things. So I guess the bigger question will be here is what sort of pace will they run this race at will determine how good or bad that'll be for Zardosi. I'm marking this race with no pace, Ralphie. I reckon there's going to be no speed. This should help the horse. It's just whether it can rise to the occasion and match the other two, and they'll be subject to whether they can handle the ground. So for that reason, I have to keep it there.
Yep. The other one, Sia Wolf, it's been thereabouts. And Cap Ferrar, well, it was also thereabouts. The one thing I can't help thinking this, Chris Waller just saying, you are my Derby horse from day one. Now, of course, Riff Rocket's got the score on the board class-wise, but the reason I mentioned that is last campaign, tipped it out after running second to Tom Kitten rather than sending it to Melbourne, and then two Melbourne runs this time in, bring it to Sydney and sending it forward, just sending it forward in the race. Now, I know it wasn't going fast, but that sort of says, well, grand final day's next start. Any chance?
They're all a chance if Tom Kitten doesn't handle the wet track.
So he's got the class on the board, and then it's please yourself from there.
Well, it's a...
From the spring champion, that is.
Yeah, I feel that Zardosi might be able to match Tom Kitten, funny enough, right? And maybe that's the horse that's going to love it more than the others, but we don't know. Tom Kitten can handle the wet ground, might be an even better horse on heavier track, you see, and this makes the big conundrum.
Yeah, I just so I've said it, the gear change, JB Carr first time on Zardosi, I love it. So, yeah, she's in the zone this year.
Yep, you can't knock that. That's another very, very smart. And that could also mean, are you suggesting, Ralphie, there's another run for that horse somewhere else as well?
Zardosi?
Yeah, or is this it the grand final?
Well, there's still the Oaks to come, but that's next week.
Right.
But I keep asking myself, why would they run it in the Derby when they've got Tom Kitten there, unless they were so happy with it? Like, they wouldn't use the Derby as a lead-up run.
No!
So I just think they're going, you know what, we will have two aces here to take on Riff Rocket. Time will tell.
They obviously want to win it.
Yeah, well, absolutely fair enough. To, as you said, it's the great race day of Sydney. Let's while we're on the roll, we'll go to race 10, the PJ Bell. The market's pretty much saying there's three chances here. Learning to Fly, Miraval Rose and Commemorative. Now, the little tie-in there is Miraval Rose and Commemorative started the same price at Caulfield mid-November when Miraval Rose was just beaten. Commemorative was fourth, but it was a dynamite leaders track that day. I'm not saying that's a lead one way or the other, but I'm just putting the information there for our customers. Learning to Fly is obviously going great. The other horses maybe a bit wider in the market. It's got the gear change of Blake Shin. First time is Cristelli. How are you seeing the last race there?
Well, I do feel it's going to be a challenge, like it will be for a number of horses that are first up on a very, very heavy track. Now, you've got to remember, this is the last race of the card, right? So whatever happens, this technically, on the technicals, will be the worst possible heaviness you could get. It's the last race, right, after nine other races have been run. So that makes it a little bit hard for Miraval Rose in terms of how ready could you be for this, and the pressure. You know, like, this isn't going to be a race where they're going to crawl. There is pressure, and I just feel that that's not going to make it easy, even though this is a race where if you run benchmark, you will get on the podium.
I just want to put one thing with trainer's intent, though, Vince. Rightly or wrongly, I'll just put it down and you can pull it apart. This race last year, the winner was Magic Time. It was first up, trainer Graham Begg on the bottomless track. I can't help thinking he's just put this big circle around this race, saying I'm coming back here with Miravel Rose after the Melbourne campaign.
Well, the beautiful part is he certainly knows how to target, because this is a
perfect target race. Yes, it scares me.
And he may have even thought in the back of his mind, well, you never know, it could be really wet as well.
Yeah.
And he might be confident about that this horse can handle it.
Well, Shane Caulfield that day, it's certainly no knock.
Yeah, absolutely. So, or it's possible, Ralphie. It is possible.
Yeah. So back to learning to fly, you've got it on top at the moment.
Well, I've got it on top, Ralphie, but I could have had any one or three or four horses on top. It's sitting there by default, but it has the same challenge as pretty much that group of top four or five horses. Now, how well will they really go on a wet track? And this is the big challenge, and this horse is no different. It will also have to face the medicine of how you're going to handle it.
All right, we'll throw it in reverse and get back to race five. We've covered the other races here. At the moment, you've got low, moderate confidence. I will confidently say this, though. If someone said to you, Baddies Boy could do what it did last week, you couldn't get it short enough.
Oh, of course. This without question.
Where'd that come from? Wow.
And it was a real performance, Ralphie. That's the scary part, right? So it wasn't a fluke. Because sometimes you look at it and say, okay, it was just a fluky performance. But just the way we critique all the numbers and we cross-measure, this is absolutely a real performance. And if he could just do it again, they'll be winning. It's a big money race as well, isn't it? It's like $1 million
absolutely,
or something.
Yeah.
So I get it, right? And this horse just may have come together, and that we're just starting to see what it's really capable of. And if it produces that run, it's just going to be way too good for him.
And it did win on a what now? You can only beat the opposition there. But last April, I was just doing some research for this. It won on a world record heavy track. I reckon 38.8 lengths below benchmark.
Yeah, there's no problems about that, Ralphie. This horse is 100% suited to all that, right? You can see.
Can you back it up?
Well, that's it. Can you do it? Can you back up? Well, I'm sitting here saying, well, the horse, I'm not sure about the backing up. I reckon the backing up's fine, Ralph. You're just asking myself, do you have one more run left? Because you look like you peaked last start.
Right. All right, let's have a look at the Adrian Knox. How are you pulling that apart, race four in the program there?
That's the group three race, yes. Right, it's another... Again, Ralphie, another great race, isn't it? When you look at it, you say, where are all these good horses coming from? It's hard, Ralphie, right? It's a hard race in terms of, first of all, no horse has broken benchmark. That's the first challenge. And when I get past the first few horses, they start to get like 3 to 5 to 6 lengths below benchmark, which in my view isn't very good. If I'm pushing away from that and just looking at the horses that are between sort of half a length below benchmark to 2, there is a small group of horses that meet that. Autumn Angel is one of them with Mark Zara on board. 2 lengths below benchmark at a mile at Flemington. That was a very sound run, but no wet track profile. Good Banter, another horse that Jamie Carr's on, a 1.9 below benchmark coming from Kembla, but again, very, very negative to no profile on the wet ground. Private Legacy does have some exposure on the wet ground. -1.3, also from Kembla, and has a WTI of 5.8. And the horse that I've got on top at the moment, by default, in terms of the best IVR profile runner based on qualifying runs, is 0.6 below, and that's number 3, Waikato Girl. But bad exposure from a wet point of view. Now, sometimes you can have a bad run on a wet track. Doesn't mean you can't handle it. Maybe the second time round, a bit more experience, you handle it. But this is the challenge with this race. We've got a group of horses that are there, but I don't feel any of them really have any advantages from a wet ground condition. It's going to be a bit of potluck.
All right. The market's saying potluck in the Carbine Club. Oh, this is a bit of a head scratcher for a couple of reasons. One, Cafe Millennium, dynamic 2 starts back, terrible last start, and then you've got the mixed form of Wits End. So how are you lining this race up?
Well, this is another horse.
Sorry, a different form of Wits End from New Zealand.
Firstly, if you looked at Cafe Millennium, of course, the performance that it put down, and if it was generating that, you know you would be going to the collection window and getting your money. Doesn't have a wet track profile though, Ralphie. So
yeah,
and we're back in distance. So I've had to sort of temper it. And even after doing that, it still comes in a 0.2 above benchmark, and indicating that it's still there to be competitive, despite all those negatives. The runner, I had a good look at the New Zealand runner. I can't get the horse better than 3.1 lengths below benchmark, which is a big concern for me.
It's a bit sad.
Yeah, I was looking everywhere. Now, the horse did show a bit of a nice finish, so maybe the extra bit of distance could work for this horse, and maybe we'll see the coming of this horse going to that next stage. But it does have it's got a lot to climb class. Well, it's got to improve 5 lengths, Ralphie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not many do it, Ralphie. Not many do it. Even with J-Mac, I'm just saying, good luck. Maybe if I'm liking 5 of J-Max, I'd have to say you're not going to be one that I'm going to have, because how many winners can you really ride? I mean, I know people say can ride 10, but realistically, well, we went and did a bit of research on that just a couple of weeks ago, funny enough, and we're just running through the racing analytics platform and going through, and it just spit it out, like how many times this ride had gone 4 wins on a day on metro tracks and 3 and 2. Well, 2 is the sweet spot for James McDonald. So would this be one of his best 2 on the day? Just from where I'm standing, no.
Right. So in summary, though, for the Carbine Club, which way you're sort of thinking it at this stage, of course?
Well, performance-wise, number 3, it's got an excellent profile. Ducasse,
yep.
1.6 above, 1,600-metre performance at Randwick. I can't fault that run. Now, that Les Vampires, yes. Go forward, horse. How would that help you? Well, I'm not sure how that's going to help you. It's early in the day, which is not a negative, but how do you handle the ground? It's also got a good profile still, Ralphie, plus 1.3. And then the gap starts, you see. Cafe Million could easily be the number 1 horse, but I don't know what to do with it on a wet track, Ralphie. I'm just saying, maybe early in the day, if the rain hasn't come and it was, and there hasn't been any yet in the morning, because why are sort of indicating the real rain's going to come maybe late morning, early afternoon. So I'm just sitting here saying, well, it could be dried out real wide, just might come over the top and be too good. Don't know what to do with that. And then there's that Kintyre's the one that profiles really good for me. Just a bit of a question mark on the wet track. And it's only a benchmark horse, but I feel benchmark can win you this race. Just, unfortunately, I just don't know about the ground condition.
Just the big odds of Melbourne form there. Legacies and Ground Rush. And Ground Rush then ran at the Kenzo midweek meeting and dominated. Any chance for those 3 horses?
Well, Legacy, will that start, Ralphie?
Well, time will tell whether if it gets run or not.
Yeah, we'll just see on Saturday morning, because I have that horse.
What did Ground Rush do at Kenzo?
Ground Rush, here we go. Right, race 3.
Number 12.
Yep, here we go. Got it now. Ground Rush. Rightio. Press the button. There it is. All right. 2.4 lengths below benchmark. Best of the day. That's actually a pretty fair performance. 1.8 below benchmark first section. 0.9 above between the 8 and the 4, which is good. And very solid last 400 plus 2.4. Is that enough for this? I would say no right now. And it doesn't have that exposure on the wet ground, Ralphie, either. So these are challenges for the horse.
And we'll just finish with the chairman's quality. Well, obviously update on Saturday morning, but Man's Oyster Derby winner, VRC Derby winner, looks back on track, aimed at the Sydney Cup. You got 2 of Kieran Mars in Verona and Circle of Fire in the market. One thing we know is Stockman, he loves it wet track, because he thrived during that unbelievable wet season they had at Sydney in 2022.
He does. He's been up a long time.
Yeah.
But I feel the first horse, see, this is the other challenge. Jamie Carr's going to be in the similar boat to J-Mac. You've got to look for, okay, which are probably her best 2 chances? Because, it's not often that she's going to go and win you 3 or 4 races on the day, particularly on a day like this. So is Verona one of those horses? I actually feel this horse profile's sensational for this race. And early in the day, hopefully it's not like super bottomless still. and it can handle the wet track. So I was personally gravitating to that horse myself and was considering it as a betting proposition, even though it's borderline benchmark.
Nice. All right. And just we may as well touch on it. The Kindergarten to start off with. The market's got a two. Here's Espionage and Rosalind Starr that dominated in its lead-in run at Kenzo.
Yeah. Well, Ralphie, my biggest problem is this, you know, like, truly isn't it just going to be a raffle about it? You know, does Espionage handle the wet track? Because if it does, that's the place to be and that's the horse to back. And the market hasn't missed it, right? They absolutely haven't missed it. But this is the best horse in the field by a good two lengths. So that's a great starting point, right? And you know, I love this sort of horse with Tommy Berry on board as well. It's a, like a perfect sort of profile. I was listening to the track manager was communicating just on a little blog that came up, and he was indicating that, you know, they've left – well, without saying it, but it sounded like he was saying that obviously they know the rain's coming and this track probably is already good three or maybe quicker, right?
Yep.
Even though he sort of half-blurted the word out, G4, G3, you know. But so if that's the case and the rain comes, maybe we're going to be in for a big surprise and this track might be a little bit better than even what I'm imagining. But Espionage, if it handles the wet, how are they going to beat it?
Beautiful. That's the type of info we wanted to finish off with. Okay, once again, we really appreciate you being a customer, and of course, we will update Saturday morning when we've got more clarity on the conditions and any scratchings race morning and through the Friday. But in the meantime, thank you for being a customer. Be around Carnival Preview.